When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to Talking Transfers from the 90 Min Podcast Network. I'm Scott Saunders, joined by 90 Min's transfer correspondent, Graham Bailey. And please subscribe on all your major podcast platforms and follow us on social media at @_ScottSaunders and at Graham Bailey. I've mentioned your name a couple of times, Graham, already. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Thanks, Scott. Still busy. A couple of transfer windows still open. We're looking ahead to January, looking at next summer, even 2025, which we'll be discussing in a minute. But the NFL started this weekend. My Cleveland Browns showed Cincinnati who the Kings of Ohio are. So I'm a very happy bunny at the start of this week.
Nice for you with the international break. Obviously, that the NFL returns, the Rugby World Cup started, international football qualifications, a little bit of a damp squib in it as well.
It is, but we always get these nuggets. There's always some player talking about the future and transfers. This one, not so much, but I think as we get the players who are more disgruntled, the next international window, we'll have those players talking about what's happening and a few other bits. We've had a little bit, but not so much. So, yeah, there's bits and pieces around us. Players failing drug tests and stuff, big-name players in the Saudi. So, football just never stops giving, which is why we love it.
Paul Pogba isn't actually on our agenda today, but, you know, perhaps no transfer happening there. But we'll what we will talk about.
We might talk again. We weren't talking 2025, Scott, but it might very well be Mr. Pogba. He might have to wait until 2025.
We will talk 2025 at the top of the show around Barcelona and some transfer plans for them. We'll talk Man City wanting a Chelsea youth player. We'll talk chaos of Man United, especially around Jadon Sancho. Graham mentioned disgruntled for a second there. I think it's probably appropriate to say, given his public statement last week, that Jadon Sancho might be a little bit disgruntled. We'll talk Frank Lampard, potential new job. We'll talk who Germany might replace Hansi Flick with after Japan beat them 4-1 the other day and Flick lost his job. We'll talk Kylian Mbappe. We'll talk Spurs winning the race for a talented youngster. And we'll talk some new deals for two Premier League stars towards the end. 90min.com. For all the latest, 90min.com/talkingtransfers for all the latest transfer news. It does still go on. It does still go on, even though the window is closed. And at 90min_football on the socials. Now, I mentioned at the top, Graham, Barcelona are planning on something by 2025. Who's the player in question?
It is the one and only Erling Haaland, Scott. It's our understanding from sources close to Barcelona and in and around the deal that they are trying to manoeuvre themselves to be contenders for a signature. Now, we already tweeted this out and I've had comeback from a lot of City fans saying, our club, we can't afford it. We are talking about 2025. And we're talking about 25 for a number of reasons. Obviously, he's not going this summer. It's already gone. Next summer, he won't be going because, well, we can't say 100% he's not going, Scott, because, you know, we've got all sorts of money going around the world. There's no release clause in 2024. There was, but when Pep Guardiola signed his new contract earlier in the year, that took that clause out. However, there are still clauses remaining in this contract. It was a deal done by Rafael Pimenta. She made sure that there was an ability for Erling Haaland to remove himself from City if and when he so wished. Obviously, this isn't a free transfer. We're talking about 175 million euros in 2025, we believe. So if someone wants to get in, they can. Man City, for their part, Scott, and they've been trying to do this probably for around over a year now. Virtually ever since he signed, they've been trying to get rid of these clauses. That's why you're seeing City wanting Haaland to get a new contract. Yeah, they might want to reward him for being the golden boot winner, the golden shoe winner in Europe. But they know these clauses exist. They are there. You know, when you see the quotes from Pimientos, you know, they are there for a reason. They are not going anywhere. The thing with Haaland is, yeah, he seems happy. He has said before, Scott, even before his City move, that Spain was something he wanted. And Real Madrid have always been the leading suitors. We've always regarded them as the place to be. However, I think if you sit back and think about it, I think Barcelona makes an awful lot of sense. You know, Robert Lewandowski just turned 35. So, and he's got a contract.
You have to think Saudi Arabia will be on the agenda at some point for Lewandowski.
Exactly. So when he say he's in 2025, Scott, he'll be just turned. He'll be turning 37. It's an for Barcelona. Then who better in world football? Yeah, there's going to be Osimhen out there still, etc. But Haaland. That's why it's actually showing Barcelona doing some good prep work, acting off the cuff. This is good football work from Barcelona. They're seeing if they can get in the situation, manoeuvring themselves. Now, we've seen this with Real Madrid, Scott, haven't we, a lot, where they don't... Yohannes Calafat, as we know, he'll be working on Haaland already. There's no doubt about that. If Florentino Perez wants to play, these deals take 2 and 3 years to do sometimes. They really do. And so I don't think it's a huge surprise to see Barcelona making moves. And everyone says, oh, they haven't got money, etc. But by 2025, a lot of things can change. Are they back in the Camp Nou by that point, Scott? 2025?
Couldn't tell you for certain.
I think they had you back in it'd be Spotify Camp Nou by that point, which a lot of that, if you do go off Haaland, a lot of that Spotify money will go on him. I think if they wanted him at that point, and I tell you what, by 2025, Scott, 175 million euros is probably, it sounds horrible. That might not be an awful lot of money for one of the world's best players. It really won't be. So this is one to keep an eye on. Haaland is not showing any agitation. He's not wanting to leave, but let's also forget, I think Pep's new contract is around about then, it's 2025 as well, isn't it? So a lot's going to happen with Man City, but all our information is that Barcelona are looking ahead to the future, and Haaland is very much on their list now. They're making manoeuvres, they're letting the people know that they're interested, and it's
Graham. There's also the, well, I'm sure what is in the running order. We'll talk about Kylian Mbappe later in the show. Mm-hmm. I think we think that Real Madrid will eventually get a hold of Kylian Mbappe, and yeah, there's the dynamic of, I'm sure La Liga would absolutely love it if they could recreate the Messi-Ronaldo face-to-face Barca versus Madrid era. That's got to be playing in their thinking, because those players elevated those two clubs somehow and became superhuman in themselves. And the two players that you'd really look to for being superhuman levels of goal scoring over the next 10 years are going to be Erling Haaland and Kylian Mbappe. They're the two of the most high-profile forwards in the world. And probably plays in their thinking a bit, do you think?
Definitely. And if Barca are hoping to get some help financially to get these deals over the line, now La Liga are not going to really be chipping over themselves to stop this, you wouldn't have thought, would you? And yeah, imagine Haaland and Mbappe and having could be the two best players in the world to that point. It'd be phenomenal. And this isn't, and as I said, Scott, this is not having to go at Man City. We're not certainly going to lose this, but he's already to the point where he can't win much else at City. He's only been there one season. So, you know, he's 23. He's 23 now. At that point, he'd be just turned 25. Everything. And if he does leave City, where's he going to go, Scott? It's, as we know, it will either be PSG, Bayern Munich, or La Liga, or maybe a Juventus if he got himself. There's only literally a handful of clubs where he can go anywhere, isn't there?
Totally. The Barcelona revamp of Camp Nou, not expected to complete until 2026. I've just looked it up, but that would be a nice to have Erling Haaland in the team for that moment to
selling
happen.
Selling those season tickets. Exactly. They'll be thinking ahead, and Pedri and Gavi will be coming into their own then. They've got a good squad there already, but yeah. Haaland, as you say, Scott, if Mbappe is there, Vinicius still there, how much room is there going to be for a central striker there? They would argue Haaland should be there now, really.
There's also the thing of, like, do we think that Haaland and Mbappe would want to be on the same team?
Yeah, and Vinicius, yeah, you're completely right. Like Lewandowski, if he has another 2 years at Barca, he's going to be bulging on Barca legend back status because he's going to score, what, 2 years? There's another 100 goals probably coming from the Polish legend there. So, you know, and he's going to be the perfect replacement. And I think 37 now, we know we saw Benzema going almost to that age. And so, yeah, it makes a lot of sense to me. But hey, anything can happen in football till then. But if I was the Man City fans who were already messaging me saying, oh, they didn't have enough money to do this and that, Barcelona will always find a way. And if you've got 2 years to plan something, why not?
They just took, I know it was a free transfer, they just took Ilkay Gundogan. I know Bernardo Silva's renewed his deal, but I think Bernardo Silva would like to play for Barcelona one day.
And it wasn't the fact that couldn't, and with what I would point to that for City fans as well, it wasn't that Barcelona couldn't afford Silva, it was the fact that Man City couldn't afford to lose him. That's why they kept him.
Indeed. So, talking about City outgoings, what about incomings? Ian Matson. Graham, tell me about this, because there's been some interest from City in the Chelsea player.
Yeah, Ian Matson is a curious one. We saw on deadline day a near £40 million move he rejected to Burnley, the club he starred for last season. The really interesting thing with Matson, Scott, as we mentioned, I think, on the show before, he's out of contract next summer in 2024. Chelsea have really let this come up about them. He's, for me, he's an outstanding talent. I, as a championship watcher myself, I've seen a lot of him. You know, he was at Coventry the year before Burnley. He's an outstanding prospect. And it sounds silly, but you can almost see him why City would be interested, because he'd probably find it easier to get in the City team than he would Chelsea. You know, as soon as you're going, they haven't got that out-and-out left-back. So you can see why City are keeping very close tabs on this situation. And as we know, Chelsea, they really don't want to lose him. He's 21, so what would he be, 22 next summer? They'll be due with some small compensation, but nowhere near. They're not going to get £40 million in compensation. We've already seen that literally is his market value. Burnley were willing to pay that. So yeah, let's keep an eye on him, Matson. This could be one for January, Scott, I think. Chelsea, as they've seen, if you don't sign a deal, they're going to sell you. Like the Mason Mounts of this world. We've already seen that. We might get the same with Conor Gallagher if he doesn't sign a new deal. But this one, yeah.
What's the likelihood of him signing a new deal? Wait, what's the hold?
He's turned it down. He's already turned down a few deals, is our understanding. He wanted to see where he was in the Pochettino. He has featured fairly regularly, but on the same hand, Scott, they accepted a bid from Burnley for him. So what does that tell the player? It's all very well Pochettino saying, oh, you're part of my plans. Well, why did the club accept a bid for me on deadline day? And they'll say, oh, because you didn't sign the contract. Well, it's chalk and cheese, isn't it? It's like, well, you either want me to stay or you don't. So I think they've got 2 or 3 months now to persuade him to stay. If he doesn't sign a new contract by January, I think he's gone. And yeah, if he does go, it's going to be a big club. It's not going to be Burnley.
Yeah, I think it's minutes in the Chelsea first team that's going to make a difference here if they're going to keep hold of him by the looks of it. We'll see how many minutes he does end up getting. As Graham mentions, he has had some minutes already, but Chelsea have, you know, they have a lot of players, a lot of young players in this position where they will want minutes. And if they don't get them, you know, what happens then? Are they going to potentially lose some of these players that they've just brought in? They brought in a hell of a lot of them as well. All of them really seem to be of this age of 20, 21, 22. And could be a bit difficult for Chelsea to manage over the course of the next few years if they fall on an established 11. Anyway, let's discuss Manchester United, because it never stops, Graham. Never, nope. ever stops. They cannot escape chaos. They cannot escape controversy. And we're going to talk about Jadon Sancho here, but that's not the only thing that's happening, obviously. But in Sancho's case, I've seen pictures of him actually in the US over the last week. Mm. So he's been out there. All the while, United have been allowing his public, can we call it fallout with Erik ten Hag? What's the appropriate word here? Fallout.
Yeah, it's a falling out, isn't it? A public falling out. And, you know, United... At first, you know, they were trying to play it down at first, but what we've seen the last 2 days, Scott, and the sources close to the club have pointed this out, and I didn't realise this till yesterday, Scott, and we talked about this off pod. the fact that Sancho has left that statement pinned to the top of his X account, I think, you know,
that makes me angry, Graham.
Exactly. Can you imagine Erik ten Hag? He met, as we reported on 90 Min, he met with Sancho yesterday. And it's clear that the player's not backing down. We can see that publicly. He's publicly putting it on there. And I heard Alan Shearer talking a little bit about this, and I agreed, where, you know, Ten Hag did come out and criticise the player after the being left out of the Arsenal squad. But as he pointed out, you know, that will have been a last resort. I think we spoke about this on the last pod as well, where there's no way, Scott, that Steve McLaren hasn't sat down with Sancho at some point having a word with him. So for Ten Hag to come out publicly like this, you know, this is a straw that broke the camel's back, Scott. We can only imagine what's happened beforehand within the club. And we know things are coming out and it's getting messy. And it doesn't look like it's been resolved at any point. You know, that statement, if you want to go and see it on Twitter, on his ex account, it's still there, which I know is infuriating. It's still infuriating United now. And yeah, I thought my personal feeling was that this would get, they would come out and both say sorry to each other, sort of. Let's put this behind us. Let's move on. I don't know. It's going to be fascinating to see. What's your next game, Scott United?
Who are you? Brighton. Think? Brighton and then Bayern Munich.
If he's not in those squads, it's going to be fascinating to see. Everything points to him going in January. And that the curious thing was, Scott, wasn't it? In between him being dropped against Arsenal and then his meeting with Ten Hag, United had, they had agreed to sell him to Saudi Arabia. This was a permanent deal as well, which shocked us both at the time, Scott, didn't it? That it wasn't just a loan and stuff. United were agreeing to sell him to Al Ittihad. And I think if the Saudi deadline would be a few days longer, I think it's a fair chance Sancho wouldn't be a Manchester United player now. So I think that probably told Sancho everything he needed to know about the current situation. I think United fans you tell me, Scott. I get the feeling that United fans are fully behind Ten Hag on this one.
I wouldn't say it's a universal feeling. I think some people do understand Sancho's frustration. Obviously, there's been frustrations with the performances of Antony, which I think we reported as well. Jadon Sancho sees those performances as well from the bench or from his house, you know, when he's not in the squad, and is feeling like, why aren't I in that team? But I think the big thing for, I think the majority of United fans are behind Ten Hag on this, because whether Ten Hag should have said what he said or not, all he said essentially was that other players train better, and that's why he's not in the squad for those last few days. And it was, I think, I agree with you. I think that was a last resort. Obviously, we reported last season Sancho had a long period out in Ten Hag's first 6 months at United, when he probably could have used him as well. But that was an aim to get Sancho on, maximising his performance. And obviously, he had that time away. He came back on against Leeds. I think he scored in that game. Erik ten Hag looked really happy. But he's not found his way back into the team permanently. It's difficult to find a position for him in that team permanently as well. So something has to change. And I think what Ten Hag has done is publicly challenge. And Sancho's reaction, I think, is something that United need, and Ten Hag probably needs to get rid of. At the end of the day, I know United are a hell of a different club from where they were under Alex Ferguson over 10 years ago. But no player would have dared doing that. I think Rio Ferdinand said on one of his podcasts earlier this week that Roy Keane, telling the story about Roy Keane on MUTV, digging the players out. So Alex Ferguson got wind that had been recorded, stopped it going out, and told Roy Keane he was gone within hours. It was a case of hours. And I think that discipline was what and that control that Ferguson had underpinned the success United had, because nobody challenged him. And if they did, he was gone.
It was constant, Scott, as well. Jap Stam suffered that as well, didn't he? Yeah. And I think that's the key now, where Ten Hag, the way he's dealing with Sancho, the way he's dealt with Greenwood, although it was more of a club thing, the way we've seen him now dealing with Antony as well, he's got to be consistent here. And he is. So I think he's doing the right thing. I think, actually, although this is a mess for United, I think they've done the right thing with Antony, in terms of He's in Brazil. He's not going to play until he's got this domestic, these allegations of abuse sorted out. So that's fine. He's in Brazil. But what I like as well is the fact that United are insisting, and they are telling us this, Scott, that the Antony situation will have no bearing whatsoever on Sancho. So whatever happens to Antony, this will have no bearing on Sancho. And I think that's the correct decision on that.
Yeah, I've been on other podcasts explaining that, yes, I know United are probably losing two first choice players on that right side, but
what does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
There's still a lot of options in there. I know they've been linked with, or they've been offered players over the last couple of days, Graham, to potentially come in and plug that gap. But yeah, don't think that'll be happening by the looks of it. But no resolution yet on Jadon Sancho. I say yet because maybe.
And I think the free agent one's interesting, you know, where they have been offered, obviously, Anwar El Ghazi, Usam Idrisi, which I think he's the interesting one, Scott, per for me. Al Ghazi, I don't really think is good enough. But Idrisi was actually very good for Feyenoord last year. A lot of contacts I'm speaking to. And he's a player who Erik ten Hag has signed before. He signed on loan in I think it is, Scott. If that's a player on a free transfer who ten Hag's worked with before, likes him, could come in for 6 months, I think that is important, Scott. And if he's up to speed, this is a guy who we know both players are in talks with Saudi and Turkey. They've got interest. But yeah, Usam Idrisi played a big part for Fire. He played a very good part for Fire. Not last year, he was very good in helping them win the title. Keep an eye on Idrisi. I think it's a possible option for them.
We'll see what United do. What about outgoings, Graham? Donny van de Beek is still there.
Yeah. We'll be doing another story on van de Beek.
Eric Bailly has left, though, finally. Finally, he has left officially. But Donny, will he leave soon?
United are hoping so. There is interest from Turkey and Qatar in him. Their windows are still open. I'm being told that there's a chance that van de Beek is not included in the Premier League squad, and that has been communicated to him, which I think is...
I don't believe he's made the Champions League squad either.
He's not in Champions League squad, but I think it's a bigger deal if he doesn't make the Premier one, obviously, because that literally does mean he will be sat in the stand watching the games, doesn't it? So I think that's a real genuine threat. I don't think Ten Hag is the sort of person. It's not coming from Ten Hag. I don't think it's a threat. I think they're just telling him, saying, look, Donny, there's a chance that you're not going to be in the Premier League squad here. Let's move on. Obviously, he was frustrated at the Real Sociedad move not coming off, which, you know, both sides blaming each other for that one. And the only problem is, you know, obviously moving to Turkey or Qatar, Scott, isn't everyone's cup of tea, really. And so we'll see. Ideally, they give him a free transfer, but as we've seen with United, they're not really in the mood for doing that with these players, and he's on a lot of money, so... It's a tough one. We'll keep an eye on van de Beek. You'll be able to read the story we're doing on him about him. He's got this option of going to Qatar or Turkey, but it's an interesting one. Might very well go until, 15th and 18th, those two deadlines. It's going to go to the wire.
Yes, indeed. Let's talk managers, because we had the sacking of Hansi Flick earlier this week. But let's do Lyon's manager search first of all. They approached Graham Potter as well. And got rejected, am I right in saying?
Yeah, John Textor, the owner of Lyon, part owner of Crystal Palace, obviously, part owner of Botafogo Rio, I think, the Brazilian, soon-to-be Brazilian champions, I believe. He met with Graham Potter in London. This was before he sacked Laurent Blanc on Sunday, Monday. And yeah, Graham Potter, thank you, but no thanks. I think he's waiting for a Premier League job. But it's our understanding, Scott, that he quite likes Frank Lampard. He's on his list. Not so bad. I could see Frank in France. I think it'd be a decent fit, to be fair. But Gennaro Gattuso has been linked. There's loads who want the Leon job. Leon is still a fantastic job. A lot of people want it, but Frank's on the list.
Interesting stuff. Interesting stuff indeed. I don't know whether you caught it the other day, but there was a... I think the ultras were essentially addressing their players on the pitch. So it's a difficult atmosphere to go in because things obviously aren't going well at the moment for Leon. But things aren't going well for Germany either, because the fall off there, incredible. And obviously during this international break, they have been beaten 4-1 by Japan. Japan are a good football team, but you don't expect Germany to be falling to a 4-1 defeat to Japan, regardless of whether it's a friendly, whatever competition it is. Their form has been awful. And Hansi Flick has suffered and lost his job as a result. It's been on the way for a while, though, that one, Graham, hasn't it?
It has. Is it the first sacking or something? I see someone making that fact up.
I think so, yeah. I think
so. It's a fascinating one because... Yeah, I got a message on Saturday, actually. I think a message on Saturday saying they're going to sack him. And the one they were looking at, or the one they really hope for, is Jurgen Klopp. Let's not forget the European Championships are in Germany next summer. So I think if Klopp showed any willingness to do it, they would allow him to finish the season at Liverpool. And because he already knows Germany like the back of his hand. He doesn't really need to be there every day to assess that. So... I don't think that they would get him, but I think there might be a route for it. You know, if you offered it to him part-time until the summer and then he can take it, and then if he wants to stay, if not... If I was Germany, I would be saying to Jurgen Klopp, yeah, so part-time until the summer, and then you have 4 weeks back home in Germany doing it full-time, winners the Euros or do whatever, and if you want to stay, if not, go back to Liverpool, and then we find someone else to then take us to the World Cup. I think I'm told they would offer a similar deal to Thomas Tuchel as well, the Bayern boss. And they're the two highest profile managers. We know Julian Nagelsmann there, but he's quite young, and apparently Bayern would actually demand a lot of money. I think he's under contract still there. Yeah, and the DFB, they were a bit... So the DFB managed to get Flick quite cheaply. Bayern weren't happy with them. And now they're in the driving seat. So I think Nagels might actually be more expensive than Tuchel and Klopp, strangely enough. I see Ragnick's rejected, or played him, not that he was ever in for it, but lots of people playing it down. But I do wonder, you know, the Tuchel and Klopp route, Scott, I think that makes a lot of sense. I think there's plenty of good coaches at the DFB. These managers can pick the teams. And, you know, I imagine Bayern and Liverpool, their training grounds over the international period is quite a quiet place. I bet there's not many first team players there. And so I think it's an interesting one. You know, Klopp could, you know, do with Alex Ferguson, where he took Scotland in different circumstances, obviously, but he went to Mexico. Everyone forgets that Sir Alex was a Scotland manager in Mexico 86. You know, it could be a perfect solution. And you could offer the same deal as a Pep or something, couldn't you, if you wanted to go down the foreign route? I've always said this to you, Scott. That was my solution for England, wasn't it? I always wanted them to do a part-time contract for the big managers. But I think it's interesting. Well, let's keep an eye on what Germany think. Do they want a permanent manager in place for the home Euros? Possibly. But I think if you offered them the chance of Tuchel or Klopp to be their manager for that opening game for the Euros, I think they'd be tempted. I do. I think they're going to look at all the avenues, address the situation, see who wants it. But yeah, it's one to keep an eye on. It's fascinating.
It always seemed to me like the way that Jurgen Klopp has talked about that job has been, it seems to, and maybe I'm wrong here, but it seems to be an ambition of his at some point in his in his career. Maybe this is too early for him, but you know, if Germany go and decide to go with a manager for the next 4 years and it goes well, and then that turns into 8 years and this kind of thing, then will Klopp ever get the chance, really?
Exactly. I think if Jurgen Klopp said to the DFB, I'll do it this summer, I'm staying at Liverpool, I'll do it part-time until then I'll do it full-time for 4 weeks in the summer. Because for these international players, like the German players, let's say for England and Brazil and stuff, you know, Jurgen Klopp is there to, he's a perfect national manager. He's there to inspire. He's not there to coach him, Scott. He's not there to improve their technique. You know, you get players, he's got some of the world's best players there. He's not there to improve Musiala's technique, is he? He's there to inspire them, to get the tactics across. I think it'd be inspired, but I think it'd be hard for Klopp to turn down. If Germany offered him that part-time and then full-time next summer for a month and then see what you think after, I think it'd be very hard for him to turn that down.
Talking of next summer, let's talk Kylian Mbappe. He's always going to be on the agenda, really. This move to Real Madrid has been on the agenda for a long time. With the latest developments, Graham, do we think that he's moved a step closer to that becoming a reality?
Yeah, he's back in the fold now, obviously. Nasser Al-Khelaifi's backtracked and saying how great he is, etc. He loves him. There is talk about a new contract. We understand that isn't the case. Even with release clause, he's not going to do that. But he has indicated he's willing to give them his bonuses back or not receive them. There were 80 million euros, apparently. So, sorry.
I could just tell there that Graham was needing, his voice was going a little bit.
But yeah, so sorry about that. Yeah,
he's
so,
back anyway.
Yeah. Mbappe, basically, he's willing to let them have his £80 million loyalty bonus, which I'm told by accountants is actually worth £100 million to PSG. So, no, as it stands, he's going to go on that free transfer next summer. You know, by giving them that loyalty bonus back, they're not really losing that much, are they? So it's an interesting situation. Al-Khelaifi will still try. He'll still talk to him, but no, he's going to go next summer, and we're still going to see plenty of links, Scott. We're seeing Liverpool linked to him again. We'll see City linked. We'll see Barcelona linked. But do any of us believe he'll go anywhere other than Real Madrid? It's hard to imagine him anywhere else, isn't it, Scott, really?
I don't. I have to say, this has been far too long coming for this not to happen. Kylian Mbappe, Real Madrid, it just seems like it's going to happen at some point and has to happen at some point. Anyway, let's move on to Tottenham potentially winning the race for a talented young player. How much can you tell us about Luka Vucevic, Graham?
I can tell you he's Croatian. He's 16 years old. He's a centre-half, Scott. And we did a story in March, I think. I haven't listened to the show back. I think we did cover it on the podcast at the time in March when Man City and Paris Saint-Germain both made offers for him. We're talking 12 to 15 million euros for this player. Why do you guys one of the best young defenders in the world? They're getting very good at centre-halves at the minute, Croatia, aren't they? They've already got Gvardiol. And if Vucevic progresses as they think, wow, they could have a sensational centre-half pairing.
Dreams
there
of emulating Dejan Lovren.
Yes, sure. Exactly. but yeah, it's our information the player has agreed to make the move to Tottenham. He basically had his pick of the club, Scott. Wherever he wanted to go, be it Barcelona, Bayern, any of the top English clubs, but he wants to go to Tottenham. The Ange effect in full effect, Scott.
After a few weeks, Ange Ball is having its impact on some of the most talented young players in
well,
the world.
Well, he's winning me over, Scott. I saw them at Burnley and they were absolutely amazing.
Be a good test in a couple of weeks' time, though, Graham. They go to the Emirates, I believe. And yeah. We will see.
I wasn't won over, to be honest. Porro and Van der Veen looked a little bit... Van der Veen, to be fair, looked as a player who's just come to Premier League and was getting up to speed. I think there's not a problem with him. Porro didn't look too good at right back, but James Maddison's got a wow. And Brendan Johnson's coming. But yeah, but Spurs have got this boy, 16-year-old. He'll come in. Ashley Phillips have just brought him from Blackburn, one of the best young English centre halves as well. So Spurs, they're starting to do things right off the pitch. They really are.
After a while, I'm sure Spurs fans will be very happy that they're finally getting things right off the pitch after 5 years of getting it wrong off the pitch, or however long it has been. And a couple of final notes from today's episode. New contracts. This is as well as clubs are looking to sign new players, this is probably the right time to go about progressing in talks over extended contracts for some key players. And one player from Newcastle and one player from Brighton could be on the verge of extending.
Yeah, Kairo Matoma. This one's been ongoing for a few months now, Scott, but Brighton are very confident that their Japanese superstar will be staying. You know, his contract in comparison, Joe, if we class him as one of the best wingers in the Premier League at the moment, Scott, I don't think there's any doubt in that, his current stature. He's a long way behind some of his rivals in that regard. So they're going to reward him. His current deal's up in 2025. But yeah, I've said by the end, in the report we did, I said by the end of this year, but Brighton are hoping within weeks that will be done. That one's coming along just nicely, according to them. And I think the one, as you say, Scott, they want these deals, some of these contracts, they want them doing by January to make sure it's not a conversation that you're having about teams coming in. The other interesting one is Bruno Guimarães.
One of your favourite players in the world.
He is, Scott. And one of the main, Newcastle's best signing, one of the main reasons they're in the Champions League, in my opinion. I think it's got in Premier League history, there's been few players who hit the ground running so well as he did when he came in from Lyon. I think he helped transform that team. And you know, he didn't need any time to settle. I really do think that highly of him. They've been talking to him since last summer about a new deal, and it was progressing. Then we heard reports coming out of the club, coming from the players' end, it stalled over something. We didn't know what. I've heard a few things, but I won't bring them up. But there's a bit of an impasse there. We saw Real Madrid inquire in January. To my information, that Chelsea and Manchester City both asked about him this summer. Obviously, short shrift. But Newcastle know they need to reward Bruno. He came in, yeah, don't get me wrong, he's not on pennies. But they think he is one of the best midfielders in the Premier League. Like, they agree with me. I do as well. But he needs to be recognised as that. He's currently not even the highest paid player at the club, I don't believe. So they're moving on with that. Newcastle are hopeful this will be done again within weeks, definitely by January. I think if they allowed him to get to January, Scott, without signing this deal, you know, he's got a deal to 2026. That isn't an issue. But this has been that would mean the deal talks have been going on for well over 12 months, and you can't allow that. It's clearly there's an issue there. They think they've got over this impasse, what there was. But yeah, they can't. I don't think they can afford this to get to January. But I think they're confident about putting this to bed by then.
Well, Newcastle have a Champions League campaign starting next week, I believe, which is a massive deal for them. Bruno will be back in the Champions League. And they have a very, very tough group. But exactly what I think Newcastle fans probably would have wanted. Graham, actually.
It's quality, stunning, isn't it? Tonali going back to Milan, Dortmund. I think it's a great... It sounds stupid. I think it's a great group for Eddie Howe because, you know, the pressure is on Eddie Howe in the Premier League. Let's not beat around the bush here, Scott. If Eddie Howe doesn't finish in top four... or improving what he did last season, he's going to be under pressure. You know, as you can see from Miss Amazon documentary, a lot of people are loving it, and I quite enjoyed it. But what you can see from the Saudis and that, Scott, is they're not here just for the love of Newcastle, no matter what they might say. They're here to make Newcastle the best team in England. And finishing fourth and fifth, if they do that, isn't good enough. So, yeah, we'll keep an eye on it. But for Eddie Howe, in terms of the European picture, Scott, I think it's a no-pressure group. I don't think many of us are expecting to qualify from that, are we? Maybe the second place.
How many clubs in that group would you trust to get a result at home? Like, against the others? Like, to me, like, I look at Newcastle and I look at what St. James's Park can do, and it's like, you know, on a Champions League like that, can just swallow you up. PSG, PSG going away.
It's such a nice change to see a good group of four in the Champions League, because normally there's not many other good groups there, is there really? That we're seeing, which is why the Champions League is changing to one big league, which I'm not looking forward to particularly. I think it looks messy, and it is messy. But then again, to the latter stages, it'll probably improve the competition. But this is a great group of four. We haven't seen a group this good for a long time, Scott. And I think Newcastle could win the group, but they could finish fourth.
It's one of those groups, and you could say that for all of them, really, maybe apart from PSG. But that's generally how it could be. Really good, cracking Champions League draw. We're often in the Champions League group stages, I think maybe this is a reason why they're actually changing the format is to keep interest high in the group stages to make big teams play each other. And I think this group is
Yeah, you get the lesser teams through, which is good fun. But I think in that big league format, you won't see them going home and away and getting battered off certain teams. It's spreading around. So I can see why it is for that point. But no, this is a cracking. There's not many. I don't often want to watch the Champions League at this stage. But I think Newcastle's group might inspire me to do so this year.
That's back next week. That's it from us today. I've been Scott, joined by 90 Min's transfer correspondent, Graham Bailey, as ever on Talking Transfers. Please subscribe on all your major podcast platforms and follow us on social media at @_ScottSaunders and at Graham Bailey, 90min.com for all of the latest, and 90min.com/Talking Transfers for all the latest transfer news, 90min_football on the socials. From Graham and from myself, thanks very much for listening, everyone. We'll see you soon for another Talking Transfers.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Catch those springtime vibes all over Arizona. Break out of the winter blues by hitting the water at one of our lake and river parks. Take a hike among the wildflowers. Just make sure to stay on the trails and leave the flowers for the bees. Discover Arizona's best kept secret and visit azstateparks.com/amazing to start your springtime adventure.